Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. A federal judge in New York has denied bail for Sean Diddy Combs. He'll stay in jail pending trial. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams on the very serious charges.
Sean Combs led and participated in a racketeering conspiracy that used the business empire he controlled to carry out criminal activity, including sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping.
Combs attorney Mark Agnifilo.
Combs is a fighter. He's going to fight this to the end. He's innocent.
He had asked the judge to release him on a $50 million bond, but again, the judge said no, and Combs will remain in jail. His attorneys say they'll appeal it. While in Pennsylvania today being interviewed by the National Association of Black Journalists, Vice President Harris addressed the apparent assassination attempt of her political challenger and said she spoke with former President Trump earlier today.
I checked on to see if he was okay. And I told him what I have said publicly. There is no place for political violence in our country.
State police are stationed at Springfield, Ohio schools in response to bomb threats. Governor Mike DeWine.
We have troopers who are visible. These troopers will go through the building before anybody enters that building to make sure there is no problem.
Springfield in the spotlight after debunked claims about Haitian immigrants eating pets. Overseas now, where at least 9 people were killed and thousands injured. CBS's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem on what happened.
Hundreds of pagers carried by members of Hezbollah exploded simultaneously. The Lebanese government called on doctors and nurses to come to the hospitals and on residents to give blood. The Israeli army did not comment, but Hezbollah blamed Israel for the attack.
Tens of thousands of Boeing workers are still on strike, and now the company says they may have to do layoffs to cut costs. Chad Pinkelman is on the picket line in Everett, Washington.
They're going to cut money across the board, cut it across the board, make everybody feel the pain in the community, right?
Instagram's making some big changes aimed at keeping teens safe. Here's tech contributor Ian Schur.
Starting next year, it's going to use artificial intelligence to identify children who are lying about their age to have an account on the app and place them in restricted mode as well.
Some not so good news when it comes to star NFL quarterback. The Miami Dolphins have placed Tua Tagovailoa on injured reserve, sidelining the top QB for at least 4 games after his latest concussion. On Wall Street, Dow closed down 16 points today. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance held a rally in Eau Claire Tuesday. Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden spoke as well. It was Vance's second stop in Eau Claire in 6 weeks. Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris is set to campaign Friday night in Madison. People in southwest Wisconsin are just learning about a cyber attack that happened 11 months ago. Terry Bell reports.
People in and around Richland Center were notified over the weekend about a cybersecurity incident from almost a year ago. Richland County officials confirmed their server was hacked on or about October 4th of last year. A toll-free number has been set up to help people with questions. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers can clinch a playoff spot today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. The Brewers got 2 home runs from Willy Adames yesterday and took down the Philadelphia Phillies 6-2. With the win, the Brewers can now clinch a division title and a playoff berth today with a win and a Chicago Cubs loss. Milwaukee gets the Phillies again this afternoon in Game 2 of a 7-game homestand that also includes Arizona. Quarterbacks in the state of Wisconsin have had some misfortune this fall. Badgers quarterback Tyler Van Dyke will miss the rest of the season after tearing his ACL in Saturday's loss to Alabama. Braden Locke will take over behind center for Wisconsin. The Badgers are off until a week from Saturday when they take on USC. The injury bug got the Packers last week when Jordan Love was hurt late in the season opening loss to the Eagles. He also missed Sunday's game against the Colts. Coach Matt LaFleur said that his return will strictly be a medical decision and that Love can play even without practicing this week, although LaFleur said he'd prefer Love get in some work. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, mild and muggy tonight. Low, low 60s. A mix of sun and clouds, warm and humid tomorrow. High, mid 80s. Showers and storms Wednesday night and Thursday. High temperatures in the low 80s. Friday, sunshine and a high around 80 degrees. It's 82 right now.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild comes in studio with me. We're going to talk about extra security for the political candidates. And can the Republicans keep the government open? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Peach Wabba.
Mike Siegel coming up at 7:20. We will talk about his recent travels and overrated movies. Todd Michaels shared a list with me from The Independent that ranked movies as they seem to think they're overrated. So we'll talk about that. There's like 25 of them. We'll talk about them with Mike. You guys are welcome to chime in with movies you think are overrated. I will tell you right now, one of the films on the list is Top Gun, the original. And I agree with that. I don't think that's that great a movie. And I think if it was that great a movie or if it was critically acclaimed, they probably would have made a sequel a lot sooner. But that's one of the films. There's several on there that'll be fun to break down. And we'll find out what Mike is watching as well. John Oliver. Okay, so the other night at the Emmys, we talked about this last night with Rob Thomas. Apparently, I don't know if we talked about this specifically, but I put this in the beats for tomorrow. John Oliver was talking about he won Best Scripted Variety Series for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which is a great show. He does 20 minutes sometimes on a topic. Like several weeks ago, they had one I watched on nursing homes and how what a scam they are and trying people an Airbnb, trying to get your money back and all this. And he does real serious investigative journalism and he's hilarious, too. He's very funny. Anyway, he won, deservedly so, won the Emmy for Best Scripted Variety Show. While he's giving his acceptance speech, very graciously, he's talking about his family's dog that recently passed away. That was there when he and his wife got married, was there during the pandemic with the family, and was there during two pregnancies and the births of their two children. And they start playing the music to get him off the stage. Now, I know you have to keep the broadcast running. You got to keep things moving. These shows can go on forever. And this is a little bit on John Oliver. I know you love your dog, but I mean, I don't know if that's the place to give a tribute to your pet, as sweet as the dog may have been and as much as it meant to you and your family. That's great. I also think once someone does that, the producers of the show have to cut them a little slack and go, okay, he's talking about a dog that apparently was very sweet. Let's give him an extra minute. We'll tidy up somewhere else. They played the music. And as it crescendoed, he tried to talk louder. Eventually, he just told them to F off as he was leaving the stage. And I know this will be a topic. Maybe he'll go after the Emmys on his show. Maybe he won't.
You know, I'm surprised I haven't played music.
Yeah, it's because what I'm saying is riveting. I'm not talking about my family dog that I'm allergic to.
Sherry from Horicon says, my favorite sandwich is my Italian beef sandwich. I make the best. You make your own, Sherry. I like that. You can get these kits. I've had them, pardon me, I've had them sent to me, you know, like for my birthday. And the ones we get are from Al's, no, I'm sorry, not Al's Italian Beef. The big pizza place. I can't think of it. In Chicago. Not Giordano's. Luminati's. They sent out this thing with dry ice, and you get to make it, like you get to shave the beef off yourself. It's so good, Sherry. But having said that, I'm sure homemade is even better. But yeah, it's fun to make them at home too. Okay, so we are going to talk about our top five sandwiches. Matt Miller was scheduled to be on the show. He is a no-show. I'm sure something happened, and I hope Matt's okay. Or maybe he just forgot. Once in a while, people forget, right, Conrad? It's like you can't, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot. I almost didn't show up tonight because I had that Too Close for Comfort marathon on Nickelodeon. So let's go. You want to go first? Let's do our fifth, and we'll work our way up to number one. Let's start at five.
Okay, well, so this is a PB&J with toasted bread, that natural peanut butter like you're talking about.
Okay.
But I really like the strawberry jam, not the grape.
Ooh. Strawberry I could do. Grape is good too. I'm going to, you know, I had PB&J as my number five as well, but I'm going to change it now just because it doesn't look like there's any collusion here. And I'm going to make mine salami and mustard on white bread. And that is it. Salami and mustard on white bread. I ate that a lot as a kid and it was delicious. But I would put a PB&J up there as well with Conrad at number five. So I will go first for number four. I'm going to say the Wisconsin brat is my fourth favorite sandwich. And here's the thing about the brat. This might be the most versatile sandwich to eat. I'll eat it plain. If you got a good bun, I'm fine just eating the meat and the bread. But preferably, I'll put mustard and onions on the brat as well. So that's my number four. Conrad, were you on the phone?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I would say my number four.
But hold on. Did you hear my number five?
Wait, well, I heard the number four, but.
I had the same as you.
Okay.
So I scratched it. I didn't want people to think that there was any kind of tomfoolery going on here.
Yeah.
So I said, you're going to love this. Salami.
Okay.
With mustard, like four or five slices of salami. Mustard on just white bread. No cheese, no crazy funkiness, just the meat, the mustard, and the bread. I ate a ton of those as a kid when I outgrew bologna at four. Bologna's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard of in my life. And so that's my number five. And for number four, I went with the brat because the brat is versatile. I like I said, I'll eat the brat just with a bun. I'm fine with that. Okay. I'll eat the brat with mustard, onions. I could do sauerkraut on a brat. I wouldn't. I would enjoy it. I'd eat it with cheese. A brat is very versatile. Maybe the most versatile sandwich you can have. So that's my number four.
All right. So my number four is, it's actually a cousin sub, which is hilarious.
Which you just made fun of me for before.
But when I worked there, I would make it like almost every time I worked there. And it's a pepperoni melt.
Ooh.
So good.
What did you melt on there?
So I used provolone cheese. And then you put a layer of pepperoni.
Okay.
And then you just, that's it. You just, then you put all the fixings after that.
Well, what are the fixings? That's part of the sandwich, dude.
Lettuce.
Okay.
Pickles and cucumbers.
Wow.
Peppercini.
I like it.
And spinach. And then I put a layer of, not a layer. I wouldn't say too heavy on the mayo, but I'd put a little bit.
See, at this point, the spinach is you just saying, I know the sandwich is horrible for me.
Yes.
I got to get something out of this.
Because when you grill the pepperoni, there's so much grease.
All right. Fair enough. And that's a homegrown sandwich like Sherry's Italian Beef. I like that. So now you didn't offer that on the menu, though. That was just your own personal.
No, the pepperoni melt was offered.
But was it? Okay.
I just put all the extra stuff on it.
Okay. All right. Why don't you go number? Oh, Sherry chimes in. She says number four, hard salami.
Okay.
That is a thing. That's not like a risque joke. There is something called hard salami, but it's just Sherry's not really elaborating on what she has with that. So I'm going to say Sherry probably is just agreeing with me at number four and hard salami on bread.
Okay.
That'll work. All right. What's your number three?
So it's just a basic turkey on bread with pepper jack cheese.
Okay.
And then you put a little bit, you toast the bread again, and then you put butter on it, and then it's just turkey, pepper jack, and then I put pickles on it.
I mean, at this point, Conrad, your list is just chaos. You're not even saying, like, I'm going for, like, these well-known sandwiches here, and you're like becoming
I'm going
galloping,
for the homegrown, you
galloping
know.
Gourmet here.
It'll get better, you know. Okay. You still got two more.
I'm sure that's delicious. I'm just saying. All right, I give you points for creativity. My number three is a good old-fashioned grilled cheese with thick, crispy toast and some kind of funky cheese that's not like either maybe not goat cheese, but like maybe a Gouda or sharp cheddar or something like that.
I love Gouda on there.
Yeah, so that would be mine. And no frill, nothing else. Maybe some pickles in there if I wanted to get crazy. But that's my number three. Tom from New Berlin comes in and says, what does he say here? He says, Pete, a fresh tomato on a toasted bread with mayo and whatever lunch meat you choose. Yes, onions on onions on brats, he's saying. Yeah, that's good, Tom. I like that. Just like he's basically saying any lunch meat with a tomato and mayo. You can't go wrong with that.
Definitely not. No, I think that's...
So I'm with you.
I think that's a very good sandwich.
I think that's delicious. And it's kind of homemade in a way.
Yeah.
Tom is kind of being creative there. All right, I'm going to go first on number two, the Italian sausage.
Okay, yeah.
The brat's more ethnic cousin. Very similar. I debated whether or not to put both of them on the list because they are very similar. But Italian sausage just has that little spice to it that I like. And it is also versatile like a brat. So what do you got there for number two, buddy?
Well, my number two is a brat.
But okay.
I hate mustard, first
really?
Of all. Really? Yes, I can't. Actually, I like honey mustard, just not the yellow stuff.
That's so subversive. But what about like a Dijon or something?
No,
Stone ground?
I only like honey mustard.
No kidding.
So a brat with ketchup and onion, and that's it.
Fair enough. All right. We have reached that point in our list.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
I will give you the honor. Your number one sandwich on National Monte Cristo Day. I assume it's not a Monte Cristo.
No.
All right.
It is a chicken bacon ranch.
Oh, where do you get that from?
You know, honestly, anywhere. Anywhere. Any good sub place has one.
Okay.
And it's so good when you make it yourself, actually, and you make the chicken yourself, put your own seasoning on it, and you make your own bacon, too.
Yeah, that's
it's
huge.
It's so good. But you get, a good like, place...
Crispy bacon too.
Yes.
Dynamite.
A good place that has one is Cousin Subs, though.
How are you making fun of me for Cousin Subs earlier when it's like apparently you've eaten there every meal for the last 5 years?
I forgot how good they actually are.
I'm sorry I teased you, Pete, about your choice. Turns out that's my favorite restaurant in the world. And my favorite sandwich, this is not going to come as any surprise because I talked about it earlier, the Chicago Italian beef sandwich. Give me the beef, give me some jardinera, and dunk that thing like you're trying to drown it. And let me just eat it and get a beef juice face. That's the thing. You need like 8 pounds of napkins when you eat it. But it is dynamite. And give me some soggy fries, too. That's what I need. All right. Mike Siegel coming up next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Interest rates, annual fees, oh my gosh, late fees or escrow. Have you ever shopped around for the best credit card deal or tried to understand all those mortgage closing costs? If you have and you found it really frustrating, you are not alone and you are not dumb. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a government agency I actually like, did a lot of research that shows that complex pricing structures are more expensive for us. Complex pricing structures are when there's a lot of different costs at a lot of different levels associated with one product. They make it harder for us to compare prices across offerings. They lead us to make more mistakes. So when I find myself facing a complex pricing situation, I take a deep breath, I slow down, and I do the best math I can to get the best deal I can. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back. Our question of the night is, what is the most overrated sandwich? It is National Monte Cristo Day. Monte Cristo, to me, it's like the bell bottoms of sandwiches. I've not even heard the words Monte Cristo in ages. So it seemed like it was one. It's like disco. It seemed like it was kind of a big deal for a while. And now I don't know what's going on with the Monte Cristo. And I've had one and I liked it, but I found out that tonight the proper way to do it is you dip it in egg yolk, and I have no patience for that. So, but that did give us a question of the night. What is your most, what do you think is the most overrated sandwich? For me, it's the Philly cheesesteak. Conrad says
French dip.
French dip. All right. So we will continue to field texts and read them on the radio. Right now we are going to, move the show along and welcome a good friend of mine to the show. He is the host of the Travel Tales podcast and multiple TV shows over the years, including TBS's Movie Break, If Walls Could Talk, and What You Get for the Money. And most importantly, he was also a VH1 VJ. Mike Siegel is back on Nightlight. Mike, welcome.
How you doing, Pete?
Good. Are you jet lagged?
I am.
Are you?
I am. I actually just woke up. I took a nap because I am all messed up. I was in. I was gone for a month. Iceland, Ireland, Scotland, and England. Anything with a land at the end of it, Pete, that's where I was.
Well, that's a lot of countries.
Yeah, it's a lot of them.
He burned some miles or picked up some new ones, something. Yeah, I usually, when you're on Facebook and you're posting all your locations from all over the world, I usually try to follow it. I have not traveled many places myself, so I live vicariously through you. And this time, I got to be honest, Mike, I had trouble following. I was like, wait, where is he now? It's like, there's a pool table in Iceland, and then over here is a pier in South Africa. Like, I didn't know what was going on. What was the trip about? Was this a fact-finding mission, leisure? What were you doing?
Well, I combined business and pleasure, which is what I try to do when because I was doing a ship. I had four different ship gigs performing comedy on cruises. So I was picking up a ship in Reykjavik, Iceland, and I had never been to Iceland. So I was very excited, and it's been on my bucket list for a long time.
Yeah.
And so my girlfriend and I flew out a week early and just explored for a week before she came home and I went on the ship. So that was that. So it was a week there, and it was amazing. It really was. I mean, it's like I've seen a lot of places, but it was like nowhere I've really seen before in terms of the landscape and the, in a natural way. It's pretty incredible. I mean, I recommend it highly. It is expensive, though. So I will warn that to people.
Huh.
I used up a lot of credit card points and miles. So it is pricey, but it's great.
What is a Motel 6 in Iceland going to run me? What am I looking at?
Pete, if they had them, I would have stayed in them. Believe me.
I stayed in one in Kankakee, Illinois, working Humble some brag. Comedy club. Yeah. And I don't even know why I did. Like, it's not that far from where I live. It was like an hour, hour and a half. I don't know. But
no, it was in my conference. That was like Kankakee was my high school.
Oh, South Suburbs. Conference. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, there were all these swear words written on the ceiling I had never even heard of before. So I was like,
classy joint written on the
really
ceiling.
Was. Written on the ceiling with horrible thing. I mean, it was just awful. It's interesting. I had a friend who's from Iceland. His name was Thor. He was a Viking.
Yeah.
And he married a woman from LA, and they were very nice, and our kids were friends. And the woman said it was so funny when she would go visit his family in Iceland, as adults, they would wrestle. Like, and he would wrestle like his sisters, like they were all getting in on it. It was just what they did. And she was like, what on earth is happening here? But I've
there's heard, only like 300,000 people in the whole country.
In the whole country. That's so crazy. And I've heard that like Iceland is the place with a lot of green, and Greenland is the place you don't yes. want to go. It's actually more frigid there. Is that true?
Right. It was a story they told, I think, you know, to throw off somebody who was going to invade it. It's like, it's Iceland. So, you know, they went to the wrong country or something like that. They went to the wrong island. But Greenland is massive, but it's, it's mostly ice. And wow. Iceland is beautiful, but it's green, but it's also a very, you know, it's a lot of lava rock. It's all volcanoes. We actually saw a volcano erupt while we were there last night.
Oh, I think we're having dinner. That. Yeah.
And a, you know, but she looks over my shoulder while we're eating dinner. She's like, was that there just a minute ago? And I look over and just like this orange line in the horizon. I'm like, well, no, I don't think that was there. And the waiter comes over. He just looks out the window and goes, oh, volcano erupted.
Check, like, please.
What? Yeah, right. Like, what? He just said it casual. Like, he could have gone, oh, there's a bird. You know, it was nothing. Wow. Nothing to him. And we're like, well, should we do something? He's like, nah, it's a small one. Can I get you anything? He's like, yeah, give us all the drinks. How about that?
No, you're fine. Finish your tort.
Yeah, the earth is exploding out there. Let me see this dessert menu. This is beautiful.
That's funny. Wow, that's...
But we were at... There's a famous spa there, a lagoon called the Blue Lagoon, which is man-made, but it's in this volcanic area. And they had evacuated. This was like their fourth or fifth eruption this year, so they were kind of used to it. It was kind of in the same area, but it wasn't too far from us. And this famous Blue Lagoon spa is down there. And we had just been there like an hour and a half earlier. Wow. And we would have been had to evacuate, not for lava, but for the gas, you know, so that's Jeez. Why they evacuate. So people were evacuated. They told people to get out of this, you know, this hot, warm springs and just go right to their cars to the like dripping wet. And it was cold out. It was like, man, I'm glad we avoided that. So that's just kind of like what happens in Iceland, you know, it's like,
well,
as I described, it's like cold Hawaii. You know, ever been to the big island, Hawaii? It's like lava fields and stuff like that.
But I have a lot more than five eruptions in a year.
Hey, buddy.
So, hello. Hi. Hey. How are you? Three shows on Saturday.
Hot and dangerous, both.
So the Blue Lagoon, that's like, does it have any relation to the movie?
No.
Okay.
No. This is a man-made spa.
Just a spa. You know,
it's basically a huge outdoor pool, hot tub kind of thing. But it's naturally, you know, from the volcanic, it just heats naturally from underground.
So,
and it's really cool.
Are the people of Iceland typically very friendly? Do they like Americans?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's only problem with it is they, you know, it's a small country with, you know, they don't have the infrastructure to handle, you know, a million tourists.
So, yeah.
Like I said, it's only like, you know, 300,000 people and about half of them live in and around Reykjavik, the capital. So, you go long stretches of driving and things with, you know, there's no like off ramps with food. There's no, you know, bathrooms. So they're having a problem with people like pulling over and peeing on the side of the highway and stuff, not respecting it. So they're in a danger of a little over tourism. But, you know, but I recommend it highly. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful, though.
I mean, I'm not trying to judge the people of Iceland, but there's something liberating about a nice outdoor pee, Mike.
That's true.
I'm from Wisconsin. Okay. All right, Mike Siegel is here. We're going to talk about, after Civic Media award-winning news, Mike and I are going to talk about a list I have of overrated movies, and you're welcome to give your thoughts, too. I hope you got the list. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mike Siegel's here.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief. A judge orders music mogul Sean Diddy Combs held without bail. Combs is accused of running a criminal enterprise that included sex trafficking. He has pleaded not guilty. CBS legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
He will be in prison until this trial takes place, which could be a very long time from now.
At least 9 people are dead and nearly 3,000 wounded after pagers used by members of Hezbollah explode in Lebanon and Syria. The BBC's Daniel DeSimone.
Hezbollah has pointed the finger of blame directly at Israel. It said Israel will get just punishment for what it's done. Israel itself has not commented.
CBS's Manuel Bojorquez with the latest on the suspect in Sunday's apparent assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump.
For the first time, we're hearing from his 25-year-old son, who released a quote to CBS News saying that he's a good person and has been a hard worker his whole life, and saying that he was taken aback by what has happened.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Miss Wisconsin pageant is on the move. The scholarship contest will be in New Berlin starting next year. Miss Wisconsin had been in Oshkosh since 1963. The organization is thanking Oshkosh in a social media post. 3 Miss Wisconsins went on to become Miss America during the contest's 61-year run in Oshkosh. The healthcare group that closed hospitals in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls is making some big donations. James Kelly reports.
The organization has donated $9 million to the Eau Claire Community Foundation, $4.6 million to the Community Foundation of Chippewa County, and $330,000 to Chippewa Valley Technical College. Local governments are still working to address the loss of healthcare access in the HSHS departure. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Menominee Police Department is investigating after receiving a picture of a juvenile with an apparent firearm outside the high school. According to a press release, authorities received the picture on Sunday night, along with reports that the juvenile in the picture had made some concerning comments about shooting up the school. They determined that no actual threats were made to the school, and the juvenile was holding a BB gun in the picture. Authorities have not announced if that juvenile is facing any charges. Marshfield Clinic Health System is now offering flu vaccines at their primary care locations across the state. According to a press release, flu season doesn't peak until December, but some children will need 2 doses of the vaccine to be properly protected, so they should make their first appointment in September or October. They also say this year's vaccine has been updated to protect against the 3 most common strains of the flu. Health officials estimate that over 20,000 people died from the disease in the U.S. last year. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, mild, and muggy tonight. Low, low 60s. A mix of sun and clouds, warm and humid tomorrow. High, mid 80s. Showers and storms Wednesday night and Thursday. High temperatures in the low 80s. Friday, sunshine, and a high around 80 degrees. It's 82 right now.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Werzer Builders invites you to discover easy living in their 55-plus senior condos conveniently located on Eau Claire's south side in the Timber Bluff neighborhood development. Enjoy quality custom units with well-thought-out floor plans, kitchens with center islands and granite countertops, charming front porches, and outdoor patios with pergolas. Units are two-bedroom, two-bath, come complete with appliances, and start in the 270s. Contact Werzer Builders today for lot availability and building details at info@werzerbuilders.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our statewide Text to Win Green and Gold contest continues. Dr. Laura Hanks here with public service announcement at 11:33. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Joe says, what is going on with the text line, Conrad?
It's like I don't even
foreign language on it. I can't even read any of that. From the 715, Joe says, not a fan of the Philly cheesesteak. So Joe and I are aligned there. I just think it's not that I'm not a fan of it. It's just overrated. It's a fine sandwich. Steve from Florida says, I have been craving lately a radish sandwich smothered with butter on white bread, a childhood favorite when I would make a sack lunch. I love that phrase. When squirrel hunting in 100-acre woods behind our house. Oh, that tastes me. I love that. That was a slight reference to Winnie the Pooh there. I don't know if it was intentional, Steve, but I love it. I have never heard of that sandwich. That's interesting. And I see where Conrad gets his sandwich-making creativity.
I've never tried
that. Mike Siegel is here. He's the host of the Travel Tales podcast that you can find just about everywhere. It's a great show. I recommend you checking it out. Mike, do you have a sandwich that you think is overrated?
Pete, there were so many problems I had with that sandwich. You just what do you say? A radish sandwich? Squirrel hunting? I got problems all up and down. I got red flags everywhere on that letter.
Yeah, Steve says I've been craving. It's not part of his repertoire like a regular thing, but he says I've been craving lately a radish sandwich smothered with butter on white bread. Childhood favorite when I would make a sack lunch and go squirrel hunting in the 100-acre woods behind our house. I think you hunt the squirrel to cook it up and put it on the sandwich, maybe.
I know. This has depression written all over it. This has the Great Depression written all over it.
Well, luckily.
And then we'd shove newspaper in our shoes, and then we'd go out the door.
Give me five beans for a quarter, you'd say. You're doing everything. You hear everything through Grandpa Simpson's.
Yeah, and then he'd put it in a bindle and ride the rails.
Oh, that's funny. Do you have a sandwich, Mike, that's overrated? You've been all over the world. I'm sure you've...
I heard a little bit of your Monte Cristo rant, and I got to hand it to you. The first time I had it, I was like, you know, I heard so much about the sandwich, and I didn't realize it was like dipped in egg bed. It was like two pieces of French toast with... It was deep fried, and it was like, what is this?
Ham and cheese.
Is this breakfast?
Yeah.
And it was just wrong. It just seemed wrong.
It's a ham and cheese sandwich. It's like a fancy name for a ham and cheese sandwich.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I don't think it needs its own day, frankly. But I do think.
Or a count.
Right, exactly. I would say, Mike, that to me, and I think it's because Philly's on the East Coast, probably got a little more pub. I just think the Philly cheesesteak is overrated. It's a fine sandwich. There's nothing wrong with it, but you hear it everywhere. And the Chicago beef sandwich blows it out of the water. The Wisconsin brat blows it out of the water. It doesn't have the taste.
You know what it is? It's the cheese whiz that bothers you, because the proper one is made with whiz.
Oh, you're which, right.
Which really has no taste. So it's just kind of this glue that they put on it.
Boy, that's interesting. Yes, I did hear that at one point. That's crazy. But I've had it with like real cheese too. And I still just don't think it has much taste. You got to have some mayo or some hot sauce on there or something. It's just kind of bland.
I'm with you. I'll take an Italian beef over it. And actually tomorrow, you'll be happy to know, speaking of Italian beef, we are going to see the worst team in baseball, the Chicago White Sox, here in Anaheim. Going to play the second worst team in the American League, the Anaheim Angels or the LA Angels. Tickets online, we're finding, for $5, Pete.
I'm not going unless they send me cab fare, Mike. You got some serious bargaining power here. Don't cave at $5.
But the one people, you know, in your area probably know Portillo's Italian Beef.
Oh, yeah.
Not to give them an unpaid plug here, but there's only one out here in California, in Southern California.
Yes.
And it's about two exits from Angel Stadium. So we're going to hit it on the way down. And usually when the White Sox are in town, you go there before the game, and it's all like White Sox fans in there. So I'm looking forward to the sandwich just as much as I am this see this fine display of minor leaguers that were called up to finish out this season.
Give me a beef sandwich and a sausage, please.
I like it hot and dip it twice because, you know, you dip it three times and then the bread starts to fall apart.
That's Conrad's whole problem. To me, the bread getting soaked is the best part of it. And I just assume I'm going to get messy. I don't care, you know.
It's messy, but you can't do it while you're driving, though.
Yeah, that's
true. You can't eat it driving, though. You'll be wearing half that sandwich.
Well said. I totally agree. Hey, I want to ask you before we get into movies, Mike. If you All right, of all the places you've been, and I've seen your map in your apartment, you have pins, like thumbtacks everywhere you've been. It's incredible, really. Where haven't you been that you still want to go to?
The big ones on my bucket list really are Egypt. Egypt and Morocco. Okay. Nepal, I haven't been to. Chile. Those are the ones that are really, really high up there. And like parts of Eastern Europe, like Bulgaria and Albania and Georgia, I've heard like great things about. So let's go. Those are my big ones.
Really. I don't want to embarrass
Iceland was
you.
On that list for a long time. Iceland was on that list for a long time. I'm glad I knocked it out finally.
Yeah. I don't want to embarrass you, Mike, but it's pronounced chile. Just if you go there.
Chile?
Yeah.
Mm, chile. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Well, that's not a very big list.
Well, it's I'm shrinking it. But there's always something. I'll go to a new place and then, you know, I'll hear something about another one. The world's a massive place, so there's always some place. There's always some corner that I haven't been to. Botswana, things like that, you know. My list just grows. It still grows.
I'm sure you'd still find a place that you want to go to once you knock all these other places. Yeah.
Yeah.
One more travel question for you, Mike. Where is a country, of all the places you've been, where would you not want to do stand-up, and where would you most want to do stand-up, just based on what you've seen?
Where would I not want to do stand-up? I would say anywhere I have any oppressive regime, I would have a chance of getting my hands chopped off if they didn't like my joke. There are places like that. I did do a show recently in Tokyo, which was great.
Oh, really?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. There was a couple of guys. One guy was from Iowa, one of the owners. He had just opened it up a couple of years ago, the Tokyo Comedy Bar, which was it's a great little club. They'll have shows in, you know, Japanese and then another show in English. And so, yeah, thank God I was at the English-speaking night. That would have been very awkward.
What if they didn't speak English and you were doing your act in English and they were on the floor laughing? Would be like the weirdest.
Just because they're that polite.
Yeah,
that's
they just
nice want to
have
they
fun.
Are.
They're so starved for laughter. That's great. You don't want to be heckled by Putin either. That would just
That would be bad.
Thank you for the heckle.
But it is amazing though, in the last 20 years of travel, just how much I've seen stand up on TV in just about every country now. It's almost like the 80s here that like television stations around the world have realized this is a cheap form of programming. And young people know, and it's called stand up.
Right.
Like that in the English, in every that's the art form, and you know, they'll call it stand up. And I've seen shows in Israel, I've seen in Hebrew, done in Hebrew, I've seen shows in Buenos Aires in South America, and
no kidding.
It's just taken off and in Colombia, I did a set down there in Medellin at an English comedy night. So it's just, you know, it's a cheap art form that can be done.
Yeah.
And you don't need a lot of equipment. You don't need, you don't even need a microphone if they can hear you, you know.
Right.
It really is incredible how we've seen it grown all
that
over.
Is.
And then the internet helps that too, you know.
And Carrot Top needs a few more markets he can exploit.
He does. He does.
All right, let's switch. I sent you this list, and it's got a whole bunch. This is from The Independent. The morning show producer, Todd Michaels, sends stuff out that's kind of cool like this every day. Did you get a chance to take a look at the list?
I did.
What jumped out at you? 25 films.
What didn't jump out at me is one of your favorite films of all time.
Okay.
And I think you're going to know what, do you know what I'm referring to? Because there's an Iceland connection to this. Did you see I posted? I think I sent it to you.
Oh, I don't know. Let me see.
I'm talking one of your favorite films of all time, Pete. It's not on this list.
Oh,
but many
okay.
people hate it. Hate it.
From Iceland. And I think it's overrated?
No, you love it. It's one of your favorites.
From Iceland?
No.
Oh.
I'll get to the Iceland connection.
There's a connection to Iceland. Okay. You better just tell me.
It is the Big Lebowski. Which in Reykjavik, I posted this. There is a Lebowski bar.
Yes.
And it's called Lebowski Bar.
I saw
and
that
it is,
post. Yep.
And this owner, and I guess some owner, of all places, you would think to see a Lebowski bar, a Big Lebowski theme bar Reykjavik, Iceland was probably the last place that I expected it. But apparently one of the owners just loves the movie, and it's done really well. It's a nice, it's a cool bar, and you know, it was packed at night when I stopped in, and but you know, between the bowling pins on the wall and it's just like just the signage and everything else, it's a really cool bar. But yeah,
that's
the Lebowski bar.
That just tells me that I would probably like Iceland, or you know, whatever. Not everybody is, but somewhat enlightened movie wise, I would think.
But yeah, for a long time on that movie, Pete, I mean, guys like you rave, and it is a cult movie, but just as many people despise it. Probably
really?
More people. Well, they don't get it. And for a while, I didn't really get it. I had to give that thing a lot of
me too, Mike. Honestly,
watches. And then again, I'm not a lover of it, but I appreciate it now more than I did first watching. I didn't get it.
Same. I went to see it with Paul Gilmartin. Yes. And I was like, what on earth? Like, I just didn't know anybody like that. So I had a relatability issue maybe, but then I saw it again, I think, and I was like, okay, it's pretty good. And then Greg Liena, my sometime writing partner, kept saying, watch it again. I'm telling you. And you know what? He wore me down, and now it is one of my favorite movies, and I love almost everything about it. And I think that's probably the only movie in my life that has happened where I started off being and I ended up loving it.
You know, my friend, do you know Murray Valeriano?
Yeah.
Comic? His wife, Mary, is a very, prominent costume designer, really well, like Oscar nominated, and she's done a bunch of the Coen Brothers movies. She does the Christopher Nolan movies. But she was the costume designer for the Big Lebowski.
How about that?
So in their garage, she still has one of the bowling pin headsets that the women wore in the fantasy sequence.
Yeah.
And if you think I haven't tried that on over at the house, you'd be wrong, Pete.
I would hope you would try that on. It's only
absolutely
a decent
absolutely.
Thing to do.
But this is quite a list. Where did this list come from?
The Independent. And the number one movie on the list, my guest, by the way, is Mike Siegel. Check out the Travel Tales podcast. Mike has been a TV host most of his career, VH1, VJ, If Walls Could Talk, What You Get for the Money.
Way back.
You've got a serious DJ. Resume there, but it's great to have you here, Mike. The Joker is number one, or just Joker, I should say, from 2019. I got to say, I liked that movie. I thought it was chaotic and weird, but that's how I picture the Joker. I kind of liked it. I don't think it was over. Maybe it's overrated because people don't think it's that good, but I thought it was a good movie.
And this is the Heath Ledger one, right?
No, this is the Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
This is the Cesar Romero Joker, Mike.
Where they painted over his mustache.
And he's always gone, we get it. You're the Joker. You don't have to laugh at everything. Number two, though. I don't get this. Shawshank Redemption, that's one of my favorite movies of the 90s, I would say. I don't
Absolutely.
Think that's overrated.
And I think it holds up pretty well. So I disagree on that one. I just think because all men of a certain age seem to embrace it very heavily.
Right.
And I think maybe a woman put this on the list because they're like, I don't get this.
Yeah, she's tired of hearing her boyfriend talking about it, maybe.
The flip side, you know, there's a woman's movie on here that every man will probably go, no. If you look
Amelie?
At, no. It's number 14, The Notebook.
Oh, The Notebook.
Every woman loves that movie. And I just, nope. Nope.
Yeah, I saw parts of it, and I didn't, for what it was, I didn't think it was terrible. I had no desire to see the whole thing.
No,
but
it's fine, but it's a Hallmark movie to me.
Right. That's fair. We're talking movies that are overrated based on a list I saw on The Independent, the top 25 overrated movies. We're working our way through the list. Mike Siegel is here. We'll get into this list more in detail when we come back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today.
Oh. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio. The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Tom from New Berlin says, the harvest moon tonight is so cool. No overcast to cover it. Thank you for the heads up, Tom. I remember hearing that we were going to have that tonight, and I probably would have seen it on my way home. He says, hopefully you can see it in Green Bay. I'm hoping I will see it on my entire drive home tonight. Thanks for the heads up, Tom. Tomorrow night on the show from the Hendrix Family Distillery in Oshkosh, Carl and Peggy Hendrix will be here. Carl and his mom are experts at vodka and spirits, and we're going to talk to them about how they do it and have a discussion about booze. That'll be fun. And then Sarah Enwald will be here. She's the festival manager for Festivals of Cedarburg. They're having a wine and harvest fest coming up. Mike, have you noticed a alcohol theme to tomorrow night's show?
I know. I'm listening.
I was fascinated how people would make spirits. You know, I think that's kind of cool.
Well, I was just in, you know, I was driving. I had a few days off in between ships in Scotland. So I was, I had never been up to the Northern Highlands before. So I was in Inverness. I rented a car and I just drove around the countryside. And that's really gorgeous up there. But I had really good weather. And I ended up, people were like, you're going to go on a Scotch whiskey tour. And first of all, I'm not a Scotch guy. I have been given nice bottles of Scotch before and it's lost on me. So it would have been kind of wasted on me. I will try that when I'm not driving someday, but since I'm driving on the left side of the road and shifting with my left hand and concentrating and you know, in a foreign country, maybe I'll lay off the booze there.
You already got a couple strikes against you.
But I did stop at the Glenlivet distillery.
Nice.
Which is a beautiful operation and just the grounds around there, and I bought some sample bottles of some things, and that's but I have not dipped into them. I just got a few different things to see if I could tell the difference, and I'll have to spend a night in once and see if I can. Are you a Scotch guy? I'm more of a bourbon guy.
I can do bourbon. I mean, I haven't had a drink in almost 2 years.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, not even water. I'm parched, Mike. I'm not gonna lie. I'm really thirsty. No,
legal to be sober in Wisconsin, Pete?
I just lie. I just say I'm drunk if I get pulled over. Don't worry, officer. I've had several cocktails. I don't know. It's just something I did. But I do love Scotch, and I love a good Irish whiskey. And around the time I moved from L.A., I had some friends that really got me into the good stuff, which is kind of a trap because it costs so much.
Yeah.
So, but I appreciate it. And when I moved back here, I had some friends here. We did a couple Scotch tasting things and you see how it's made. No, it's like beer and craft beer and wineries and stuff like that. But I like those drinks better. So I found that more interesting. But yeah, I like a good Irish whiskey. And if they come out with a good non-alcoholic one, like they do like O'Doul's, I would probably buy it because I like having it to sip and just
the taste.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man. Yeah. You are better than I. It is relaxing, though, a good one. But Scotch to me was just, maybe I'm a wuss, but it was too harsh.
Those first couple sips are they're a test, you know.
They'll punch you in the face. Right? They'll get you.
All right. So what else on this list, Mike? I would say, all right, we agree. Shawshank, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. That was strange.
Man, I watched that one on a plane and I thought, you know what? It was interesting. They tried a lot of things. It was kind of all over the place, but I'm all for something different. And it was fine. But an Oscar winner? Come on.
Okay.
You know, I mean.
So no. You got that. You know what I watched about a week ago was The Shape of Water, which I had only seen parts of. And I'm like, how did this? That was Best Picture.
I know. It all depends on the year, man.
It's so weird. Like
movies like Crash or something like that. And you look back on it and go, it was okay. But any other year, this would get no way it would win. So you look at the field and also certain subject matters are going to win awards over others.
Sure.
And comedies never win anything.
No, it's true.
You know, it's what's popular that year. But yeah, that one, everything, everywhere, all at once. It was fine. But
yeah,
Oscar?
No. Same.
No.
Totally. And in Greece, I mean, it was so different and cool. And they brought it to the screen from this stage play. Yeah. You know, the guy that wrote that went to a high school off the Kennedy in Chicago. Yeah. And it was based on all of his, and they set it in Southern California, which is probably a cooler setting, I guess, because you had the beach and everything. But
I read the book on the producer, Alan Carr. There's an autobiography or a biography on Alan Carr, who was a character, man.
Really?
If you ever learned more about that guy, there's a documentary out there on, it's like Amazon or somewhere out there on streaming about him. He was originally from Chicago as well, but really flamboyant guy, wore caftans and then flamed out. He ended up bombing with, he ended up making Can't Stop the Music, the Village People movie.
Oh, wow.
And that bombed his movie career.
That's not overrated.
No. And anyway, the guys who wrote Grease, they were these Chicago guys. It was like an off-Broadway play.
Yeah.
You know, and they begged them to not set it in California. And they did. They never really said it was California, but it was so obviously, you know, they're like, at least don't show any palm trees. It's like, okay. Where else are they going to drag race in these rain
those ravines?
Channels? Yeah. Right. Yeah. But yeah, it was fine. But if you look back, the messages are kind of weird. Like for women, hey, if you want to win a fella, you know, whore it up, girls.
Yeah, that was weird too.
Wear your hot pants.
I don't think that holds up for sure. No.
It's kind of dated.
Tell you another one on here. I thought Once Upon a Time in America, and I'm biased just because I would say it's just too long. Like it's
it
a
is
good movie,
way too long.
But too long. Gladiator, yeah. I could see that. But I liked it. Speaking of guy movies,
Breakfast Club as well. It's you know, it came out right when I was going into high school, or when I was in high school, or graduating, or somewhere. So it hit me right in the right spot. You know, all the John Hughes movies did. But looking back of them, some of them aged much better than others, and. After a while, you look back at it as an adult, and after a while, these kids start to feel a little like, all right, get over yourself.
Right. Like, we
you know what I mean?
Life is tough.
We get it. Right.
Exactly. All right. Well, this was fun, Mike. I would say the only other one on here that I would agree with, Good Will Hunting. Okay. It was fine. I think that was one of those movies that came out that year when it was a thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I have no desire ever to see that again, you know?
Oh, 22, Desperately Seeking Susan. I didn't like it when it came out.
Yeah.
And it was aimed at my age group. It's not that great. It goes nowhere, man.
Mike, safe travels has never been a more apropos cliche than saying it to you. So thank you for being here tonight. Man. And let's do it again soon, buddy. Have a great night.
It was a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks. That's Mike Siegel. Check out the Travel Tales podcast. It's a must hear for those of you that like to travel. And if you just like to be entertained, Mike's a funny guy and a very good host. So always fun. And we'll try to get Matt Miller rescheduled. Thank you for all your texts. We'll be back here tomorrow night to do this again, Conrad.
That is correct.
Well, at least I will be. I hope you show up.
Maybe.
You can't take a powder on a Wednesday night. All right. On behalf of all my guests and texters and Conrad, we'll see you tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. We have from the Lincoln Project, Trigvy Olson, and Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Stream the best of British TV on BritBox.
Watch captivating dramas and gripping mysteries, whether it's entire series of massive hits like Sherlock and Vera, new seasons of originals like The Responder, starring international Emmy winner Martin Freeman, or an extraordinary selection of beloved treasures featuring Idris Elba, Jodie Comer, Matthew McFadyen, Benedict Cumberbatch, and more. Only on BritBox. Watch with a free trial at BritBox.com.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.